The movie Rushmore comes out on video next week. On this archive edition, we have an interview with the film's director and co-writer, Wes Anderson, recorded last winter. Our film critic John Powers described Rushmore as pulling off the miraculous feat of being a completely fresh teen comedy. For Rushmore, Anderson received the New Generation Filmmaker Award from the LA Film Critics Association. He won the MTV Best New Filmmaker Award in 1996 for his first film, Bottle Rocket. Rushmore stars Jason Schwartzman as Max Fisher, a 10th grader at Rushmore Academy. He's a scholarship student who's the head of every club, loves the school, but flunks out anyways and ends up in public school. He's also fallen in love with a teacher at Rushmore and has enlisted one of the school's benefactors, played by Bill Murray, to help win her over. But Murray's fallen in love with her, too. Here they are at a restaurant celebrating the success of a new play by Max that he's just staged at his public school. The teacher he has a crush on has brought along a date, and Max is angry about this uninvited guest at his dinner. Here he is talking sarcastically to the waiter.
I just wanted to thank you for accommodating us. You see, we only thought we were going to be three, but someone invited himself along, so I apologize.
It's quite all right, sir.
Okay.
Very well.
You're being rude, Max.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to figure out why you brought this gentleman to my play and my dinner, which was invitation only. Would you like me to pass you the creamer, Doc?
Yes, please.
What is wrong with you?
What is wrong with you? You hurt my feelings. This night was important to me.
How did I hurt your feelings?
Oh, my God! I wrote a hit play! And I'm in love with you.
Now, Rushmore is really dependent on having a terrific young actor who can play a 15-year-old, and I think that must be hard to find. You were really lucky. You found someone really terrific in Jason Schwartzman. Were you worried, though, for a while that it would be hard to find someone who was really good and could play a 15-year-old?
Yeah, well, we spent a year trying to find somebody to play that part, and we really had no movie if we didn't have someone great. And what happened was after all this time, and we'd searched all over America, we searched in Canada, we had casting directors in every state, and then eventually we opened it up to England. Me and my co-writer Owen Wilson had decided that we could have an English actor who would be doing a fake English accent to play the character, which would actually be a real English accent, but in the context of the movie it would be fake. We'd gotten that desperate that we were coming up with those kind of ideas. And then this kid Jason Schwartzman came in, and I just knew he was nothing like what I had sort of planned. You know, I thought we were physically looking for a 15-year-old Mick Jagger, and he was sort of a 15-year-old Dustin Hoffman kind of. But then as soon as he did the scene, we auditioned and read a scene, and then I just felt like we had him. And I realized that the main thing I was looking for was someone who was 15 years old or 16 years old who had the sort of presence and force to carry, to be the center of a movie. And that's what I'd been sort of waiting for. And all the other ideas of the preconceptions of what it ought to be like, I threw them out the window as soon as I realized I had someone who could kind of be the star of a movie.
Now, Schwartzman is Talia Shear's Talia Shear's son, and Talia Shear is Francis Coppola's sister and plays the sister of Al Pacino in the Godfather movies. So
right,
he must
right.
have been at least acquainted with movies.
He'd been on some sets, but he wasn't really brought up around. I don't know. He tells it that he's not, that he didn't grow up on movie sets. I know he visited them. But he'd never acted before.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd obviously been around creative people all his life.
You also cast Bill Murray in the role of the self-made tycoon who becomes Max's helper and then his rival. Why did you see Bill Murray in the role? Bill Murray's great. Did he ask to be in the film, or did you approach him?
It was someone that we had in mind when we were writing the script. And we had always thought that he was, you know, we weren't going to be able to afford him, or we weren't going to be able to get access to him, and those things just proved to be wrong. And I'd always loved him in And there's some movies where he's doing something very different from his sort of comic persona, like Ed Wood or Mad Dog and Glory, Tootsie, Razor's Edge also. And so it was sort of with those performances in mind. And then when I met him, I thought that he had all kinds of things that we could sort of draw on for the character and kind of tap into. He'd never had a family in a movie before, and he's got five kids, and he's been a father for 17 years or something. So there were all kinds of things that, and I'm always excited to see him in an unusual role. So all those things kind of fed into it.
Did he do much improvising within the film?
We didn't, because I thought it was going to be a thing where we just hand him the scene and step back and he kind of wings it, which I think he's done on lots of movies. But, you know, as soon as we started working on it, we started to feel like there was a story that we wanted to tell that was in the script. And you know, Owen and I had worked hard on the script and we sort of felt good about it. And then Bill kind of agreed with that and we just sort of stuck to the script. You know, very, very quickly we sort of figured that out.
There's a scene when he's at a party in his own home in the backyard by the pool, but he's so alienated from the party that he climbs up on the diving board with a cigarette and a glass of scotch in his hand and then just kind of like dives in and probably plans on staying underwater until he sees a kid swimming around there. Was that all in the script?
Yeah, that was in the script. That was sort of a scene that was... The first half of the scene was sort of a Cheever kind of thing, of a midlife crisis kind of alcoholic haze. And then the second half of the scene is, I think, steals a little bit from The Graduate. Because there's a scene in The Graduate where Dustin Hoffman is... He's given a birthday present, and it's a diving suit, and he jumps in the water, and then he just stays down there away from the party that his parents are throwing for him, and that's kind of what Bill Murray does in this scene. He just stays under.
Even though the film is set in the present, and the center of the film is a 15-year-old, a lot of the records that you use in the movie are from the 60s, including Chad and Jeremy's Summer Song, which I thought was an unusual choice. Why so many 60s records, and particularly why that one?
Yeah, well, initially my plan was to score the whole movie with songs by the Kinks, because I sort of felt like the character that he's playing is he sees himself as a total establishment figure, and you know, I think he wants to be headmaster of the school one day. But what's really going on in his mind is all the usual kind of teenage, adolescent, angsty kind of anger and everything. So that's why, you know, the Kinks would not be the music that he would listen to, but it would be sort of his emotional state. And then I sort of expanded it to the whole British invasion because I started doing some research on it. And that Chad and Jeremy song was just one where I listened to the song and it made me think of a whole montage for the story. So I just kind of figured out the visuals to go with that song. I sort of felt like it belonged at a certain point in the story. So that one actually kind of inspired the sequence that it goes with.
And you didn't think it was unusual to have music from a different period than the period being described in the movie?
No, I don't really usually use the music in a way that connects too literally with what's happening in the story. And I also think the movie is sort of a fable in a way. The clothes that the people wear and the design of the sets and things, it doesn't really reflect anything in reality exactly. It's slightly off reality. And it kind of gives it a sort of tone where it has its own logic and things where you might in real life say, well, they would never let him do that. He would never be able to get away with that. In this world, they sort of make sense. They're sort of logical.
Wes Anderson directed and co-wrote the movie Rushmore. It comes out on video next week. This is Fresh Air.